Welcome to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. I'm your host, Chuck Groover, and today I'm actually on the phone with Pastor Michael Curry. Michael, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and how God has been at work in your life?
Yes, Chuck, I sure would. I grew up in Virginia, in a town of about 100,000 people or so, Roanoke, Virginia, not very far from Blacksburg. There's never been a time in my life I haven't either believed in Jesus Christ or known that he loved me. However, the most important thing in my life for so long was sports. I just loved sports. And for example, a friend would call me up and say, let's go do something. And I would say, I can't. I'm playing baseball. A girl would communicate with me and I'd say, I can't go out tonight. I'm playing, football or something like that. Part of what made a change in my life from just simply knowing God to really having a relationship with him was I started seeing my friends have changes in their lives. So here I am in high school and my friends are not doing some of the things they used to do. In addition to that, I had coaches who were involved in Fellowship of Christian Athletes and things like that. And they got me to a camp in Black Mountain, North Carolina. I'm thinking I'm 16 or thereabouts at this time. And I went there, of course, for the sports part. But while I was there, these great athletes began to tell me about their personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I never will forget, there was a famous athlete. It was second baseman for the New York Yankees. I will not tell you his name because then that will date me as to how old I am. But I just remember him being in the front of 600 young men, me being one of them, and his face glowed. And I just returned to my hometown after that camp, wanting whatever that man had and whatever those other coaches were talking about. So I had a good friend who was a son of a pastor. I began to attend church. Soon thereafter, I was sitting in a Southern Baptist church on a Sunday night, and God just really convicted me and drew me to repentance and told me that he wanted to enter my life. And there on Sunday night, that's what happened. Just a simple prayer of faith. I invited him into my heart, into my life. 2 weeks later, I felt a definite call to Christian ministry. So right away, my church began to make plans for me to attend college, to pay for all of that. And within a few weeks of that period, my present wife, my only wife, Debbie, and I started dating. So there at a very early age, I knew that God loved me. I knew that there was a direction to my life. And I had a partner in ministry. And that's how we all got started.
Okay. I also know that you work with, or you, I guess, founded / work with this Amazing Grace Global Impact Ministry and do a number of church planting as well as also filling in at other churches when they need a pastor. So could you just tell how you've seen God working through the various ministries that you're involved with to reach other people?
Absolutely, Chuck. There I am, a senior. I've just become a Christian, just felt a call to ministry. There was a housing project that I volunteered for the summer to be their youth pastor. And on Sunday nights, the pastor there at this mission congregation allowed me to preach. And so I got a good start. And then I entered college, a small Baptist college in Bluefield, Virginia. And there I became involved in the Baptist Student Union. And the reason that's so important is that on the weekends, we would go around presenting a musical to churches. And the musical was geared around my testimony. And so I had the privilege of over and over, week after week, sharing my testimony with folks. And of course, it really wasn't my testimony. It was a testimony of what God was doing through me. That led me to become a pastor at age 19 of a church of about 250 members. And shortly thereafter, I was ordained to the ministry. On the other hand, I felt like I needed mentorship. I felt like I needed a coach. I didn't know whether the way I handled funerals or even sermons or hospital visitation was the right way to handle them. So when I finished up the 4 years of college, I went on to seminary, and it was at that time that I became a youth pastor. And I never will forget the first Sunday that I was there at the church. Of course, they asked me to do something to introduce myself and have a prayer. And then the staff meeting was on Monday. And that was a treat because I walked into the staff meeting, and here's my new coach, my new mentor. And he says, "Michael, you love the Lord, don't you?" And I'm like a puppy dog, and I'm wagging my tail. My tongue is coming out of my mouth. He noticed, and he says, "You and God are really close, aren't you?" And then came the point that he was trying to make. He said, "Michael, have you ever considered that your relationship with God is not only a relationship of intimacy, but also a relationship of distance and of God's absence?" And what he was trying to communicate to me was the balance of seeing a holy God and taking off your shoes because you're on holy ground, and also having that relationship with God where you come running down the hallway, you jump into his lap, you put your arms around his neck, and you tell him that you love him. Well, that was the kind of mentorship that I received. Then I went on from there after seminary and became an associate pastor with a guy who became president of the world's largest seminary, Ken Hemphill. And while I was there with Ken, there's a lot of great things that happened during that time. And Ken left about halfway into my 5 year relationship there. And there was another pastor that was on TV in Morristown, Tennessee. And he was a pastor of two state conventions, Tennessee and I think South Carolina. And so here again, God's just providing me this wonderful start. And then I went back from a youth pastor to an associate pastor, and then went on to serve in Richmond, Virginia, as a pastor. I was there for 8 years, and God just took me and took a church that we did training and training and training and training and training, and I finally was able to bring on a staff, and they did training and training and training, and so that's how God used us to turn that work around. And from that point on, I've just had a heart particularly for church planting. And so I've gotten involved on several different fronts. And my real heart is to go back to Richmond, Virginia, in the Short Pump or West End area, and to plant a church there. I'm hoping that's going to happen next year. If it's not happening next year, it's certainly going to be the year after. But that's been my real calling. So, in all the churches that I've served, Chuck, what I've noticed is that not every church situation can meet all the needs or the channels for all the expressions that God might want to work through you. And so, what he led me to do was to put together what I call Amazing Grace Global Impact Ministry. And from that ministry, we do prayer with people. We take partnership mission trips. And that's allowed me to go places like Hungary and Australia and Canada and Japan and Mexico and South Africa and Vietnam and Uganda, Venezuela, Russia, and some others. And so I just lived this wonderful life. And I meant to include Vietnam in that. A wonderful life of doing church planting or being involved in those kinds of things around the world, but also construction and hospital, distributing hospital supplies. For example, we went with World Reach Ministries and Arise Africa to Uganda. And the team did medical missions. And then after the medical missions, their people, many of whom were of Muslim background, went into a gospel tent, and we asked for permission to share with them. And many, many people, in just a few days, nearly 600 people came to know the Lord. Another example was that our church took nearly 100 people to on a mission trip to Canada. It was just a wonderful time that we had. And I could go on and on with those kind of stories, but that's how God's been working through me, Chuck. Do you have any questions about that?
Not really, and it's just as I was telling you before we started really recording that it's really interesting just hearing all these stories from different people, especially those that have been out in the mission field, and even some of those that haven't, just hearing how God has been using them in ministry, and some of them might not even realize the ministry that they're doing until they actually start telling the stories.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And the way that I put that is not ministry that I'm doing, but ministry the Lord is choosing to do through me.
Yeah.
You know, he and I know that you believe that, but he could choose anyone. But I just been so grateful. My heart's been so full, you know, because he's chosen me, and I hope that he won't quit. And some of the things that I've learned through that is that just the simple process of saying yes, Lord. You know, it's impossible for a believer to say no and include the Lord in that same statement. You can only say yes when he's your Lord. If you say no, he has ceased to be your Lord. And what I've noticed about God's working in my life is that the more I say yes to him, yes, Lord, the more he comes visiting. The more I can sense his voice, the more his voice is that still small voice that is personal to me. And, you know, people want to know, how do you know God's speaking to you? Well, just start obeying him. And if you don't know, you know, if you get lost in the process, go back to the last time that you knew that God was working and speaking to you, and start there. And I think that you'll find your way forward. One of the thrilling things happened, for example, in this communication, this walk with God, happened in the church when I was 19 years old. I usually would head home after church, and I would turn right onto the interstate, but somehow I just felt this impression. And if I told the story to somebody else, they would think I was crazy. But I just continued forward, and I made a left, and I made a right, and I made a left, and I made a right into a parking lot. I didn't know why I was there or what I was doing. I go into a building, I go up to the second or third floor, I go down the hallway. I know it seems real strange, but found myself starting knocking on the door. And this lady comes to the door and she says, "Hello, I've been expecting you." And I was just floored by that. I was just floored that God's, you know, speaks in those practical, straightforward ways. One of the things I've found that, two things I should say, that I have found help me with regard to hearing the voice of God. One is that I have a personal mission statement. And this has grown out of various situations where God has talked to me. But it sounds something like this. My mission in life is to partner with God and his people in building dreams and in healing wounds in the lives of those who are investigating the truth about Jesus Christ from a distance, through making, marking, maturing, and mobilizing disciples, thus impacting this generation of rapid change with the person and message of Jesus Christ. If I were to encourage anyone at whatever stage of ministry, I would, you know, in order to grow, I would tell them to make sure that you spend time with God and come up with a personal mission statement. And secondly, let me give you a visual picture of how that works. I picture a watch, at least one of the old style watches. It has several wheels inside of it. Those wheels have teeth. But there's one wheel in the center of the watch that's turning everything else. And lots of times, for example, when you're in the pastorate, people try to get you to believe that this is the most important thing or this is the most important thing. But you just have to be patient much of the time. But when it becomes that thing that's turning everything else in the church, that's when you cannot walk away. You cannot let someone else usurp your leadership. That's the time that you've got to risk your job or whatever else it takes you got to prepare your wife that you may be leaving, those sorts of things, because that is going to determine everything else that flows. And so this mission statement is that center wheel in my life. It's my core value, and it helps me to stay on purpose. Does that make any sense? And so all of that's grown out of, what we do with Amazing Grace Global. We've been involved in, of course, prayer, as I said before, and partnership mission trips, as I described. But also, we support pastors and train. For example, right now, God has led me to be involved in the lives of a young man named Sly in Uganda. And he has a couple of other guys with him. All of these are young guys that have been called to the ministry. Several of them have come out of Muslim or other backgrounds. And so Sly just, I've been his coach. And recently his father became deathly ill. And he wanted to speak to his father, but for some reason he was not empowered to do it. And so I spoke to him and prayed with him and encouraged him. And he went and spoke to his father, and his father became a believer. Now, the strange thing about that story is that because Sly was a believer, his father kicked him out of the house. And now, in his hour of need, Sly goes back to the father who has abandoned him. And he has witnessed to his father about the love of another father who truly cares about him. And so there's James, there's Joshua. In addition to that, I've had some very close relationships with some folks in Venezuela. I went there on a mission trip to speak. They took me to the jungles of Venezuela, and I stayed with a pastor and his children and wife and so forth. And when Chavez kicked the Americans out of Venezuela, the people who live in Venezuela, they had to take up the jungle area. They had to go into the jungle where New Tribe Ministry had been in there, I don't know, for 30 or 40 years, decoding the sounds and the things that provided language barriers. And they translated either verses or entire chapters or entire books of the Bible, and in some cases, maybe the entire Bible, using the decoding that they did as missionaries. Well, when New Tribe and others were kicked out by Chavez, the churches in Venezuela had to take up the project. And so Juan, who is the pastor at the church in Maturin, he's the number one guy, I suppose, in Venezuela who's taking up that challenge of leading other pastors and other churches. In addition to that, his own church is taking up the assignment. And let me give you the picture. You go down to the Amazon region. This is not the Amazon River, but the Amazon state. And people of different tribes live up to 7 days into the jungle. So here it is that you take a boat upriver. You can unload there, or you can take the boat out of the river, go take it up a mountain range, put it back in the water, go another ways, and for 7 days, 8 days, continue that same process. Well, one son, Jonathan, very early on felt a call to missions. And so he's at Moody Bible Institute in Washington State right now, and he's one of the ones that I support and encourage others to support. And he, in fact, he's staying with me, for a few weeks now. And I'm just trying to encourage him in that way. But he is called to be a missionary pilot, where it would take maybe 8 days to get into parts of that jungle. He can fly supplies and missionaries in and out, in 2 hours. So he's making preparations to do all of that, and I'm so proud of him.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, for taking the time for this interview. Again, this is Chuck Groover with Michael Curry, and that's God at Work.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you for listening to God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at God at Work Podcast. If you have comments, suggestions, or a story you would like to be considered for the podcast, you can email us at stories@godatworkpodcast.com. If you enjoy this podcast and want to help support us, go to patreon.com/GodAtWorkPodcast, or you can also support us by leaving us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. God at Work, Stories of Grace and Faith, is brought to you by Becoming God's Man Ministries, and is recorded and produced by me, Chuck Groover. Theme music for God at Work is by the band 39 Stripes, and can be found at facebook.com/39stripes. And again, thank you for listening.